Christ Community Church. I know John had greeted you. We're going to take time just to get our mind right. I was reminded this morning in Sunday school in Psalm 95. It looked at who the Lord was. It says the Lord is the rock. He is the great God. He's our great King. He's the Lord, our God, our Maker. And then it gives this response. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. He is our God, and we are His people, the people of His pasture. And so we're just going to get our mind right. So if you will, just close your eyes for a moment. Lord, help us. Help us to get a clear vision of You in the songs. And help us to really worship You and to gauge. And help us to hear through Your Word and through the taking of the Lord's Supper today about how much You love us, about who You are, about what You've done. And Lord, we love You. Help us to have that mindset that we might glorify You today, and that we might be a blessing, and we might be blessed. We love You, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now is the time to give your
Wasn't that good? This is good, ain't it? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. We're going to be having the Lord's Supper today. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 7 and 8. And I don't have my outline with me. I always consider that to be a test. You know, did I really study? Y'all going to have the notes and I'm not. So I'll be under a test today, all right? And we'll see if we can make it. See if I did my homework. Or to see if I can get a buddy to cheat for me. All right, there we go. This is just like school. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. It's an extended passage of Scripture, but I promise this, when we get our mind right, we're going to want to get fed from what the Word of God says. So I'm going to lay out a whole bunch of Word right now. So you just listen to it. Follow along with it. Starting in Mark chapter 7, in verse 24, it says, "And from there he arose, and he went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house, and he wanted no one to know about it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. And she came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, 'Let the little children be filled first. For it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' She said, 'Yes,' to him, 'but Lord, yet even the little children under the table eat from the children's crumbs.'" Even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. "Then he said to her, 'For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter.' And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed. Now again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, 'Ephphatha,'" which I think that's what that says. I'm just guessing on the pronunciation, but I think it's "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." "Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should not tell anyone. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.' In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said to them, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their own houses hungry, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar.' Then his disciples answered him, 'How can one satisfy these people with bread in the wilderness?' He asked them, 'How many loaves do you have?'" This should sound a little familiar to us, by the way. "'How many loaves do you have?' So he said, 7. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and they took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks. He broke them, and he gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to them, he set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Immediately got into the boat with his disciples, and he came to the region of Dalmanutha. When he got there, the Pharisees came out, and they began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, 'Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation.' And he left them, and getting in the boat again, he departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did we take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did we take up? They said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought to him a blind man, and they begged him to touch him. I think this thing is hitting the microphone. They begged him to touch him, and he took the blind man by the hand. He led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and he put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And the man looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And he put his hands on his eyes again, and he looked and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go to town nor tell anyone in town. Okay, that was a big section of scripture to read. Y'all did very well. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, help this microphone. I pray that now that we've heard your word, that you would put it in our mind, put it in our heart, help us to see Jesus clearly, and help us, Father, to come understand that somehow or another, we're all of us, like Johnny said earlier, we're all going to respond one way, either in believing or not believing, we're going to respond to you somehow today. But would you convince all of us that whatever angle we come to you from, that you love us. Show us through this word how you loved us. You loved those who were amazed, those who were disputing, and those who just didn't get it. You loved them all, and you love us all. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the title of this sermon is this. Some were amazed, some were mad, and some just didn't get it. But Jesus loved them all. You know, isn't that something? Even in our world and our time, it's like everybody's coming to Jesus from different places. They have different things on their minds, different thoughts. Even right here, some are first time in church. Can I point out one person first time in church? Her name's Maggie Rose. She's 4 weeks old, and she's right back there, center row, all the way back. Isn't that cool? First time in church? Anyway, she is tiny. Others are here, and you're trying to figure out, now Maggie's not going to listen to me, but it's okay. You know, she's going to hear me, but she's not listening. Some folks come here for different reasons. Some of y'all may be here. Maybe some of y'all have been drugged here. He said, when I grow, I'm looking at his first couple of rows, when I grow, I ain't going to go to church if I don't have to. Maybe some of y'all feel like you just have to, you know, but you know what? I'm glad you're here anyway. Some of y'all might be mad. You know, I know people get mad at God sometimes. Some people may be here being mad at God, saying, I don't know why these things have happened to me the way they have. I don't know why my life circumstances have played out the way they have. And I want to be there, and I want to get some answers, and I want to find out, see if this preacher knows anything, and if he can tell me why God did me like he did me. I don't know. And there might be some people who would just say, and I say, why are you here? And you'd look at me and go, I don't know. I'm just here. And you're just a sweet soul of a person. And it's just, we're glad that you're here too. Because truthfully, not only does God have something for everybody, but he loves us. Okay? So we're going to look at these three groups and kind of how they respond to Jesus and just kind of try to imagine but maybe what group we're in. But more important than focusing on us and our group, we want to be able to see this. Jesus Christ, he loves us no matter what background or what motives we've come here with. He loves us, okay? And he's going to deal with us in love. And we're going to see that some of that sometimes is different, but that's the image I want you to get away from, or get from this sermon, is that he loves you, okay? We don't always have to be, when we think about the person that God loves, we think of a religious fanatic with their halo on too tight and their shirt buttoned up to their collar, and and it's just this person who's never made a mistake, that doesn't have, that's always said the right things, always done the right things, always been in the right places. But you know what? The truth is that person doesn't exist. That person's made up in our minds. Jesus loves real people like you and I. People who make mistakes, people who drop the ball, people who blow it. Blow it in our marriages, blow it in our finances, blow it in our relationship with God, blow it in our relationship with our parents, or blow it as parents. He loves us, okay? And somewhere we got to get down to that. And when we have the Lord's Supper today, I need y'all to know this. Now, I can't change your perception, but I need you to understand why we do this. We do this because the Lord told us to, and we do it, to me, it's one of the most tangible symbols of the fact that Jesus loves us that we can do. I'm going to say he took his body and he took his blood. He gave it on the cross for us, for all of us, because he loves us. Now, you may have different perceptions when you take it, but I need you to understand why we're giving it. It's not because we just have to. It's not because the preacher's union has come down on me and said, hey, buddy, we've been looking at your reports and don't seem like you've done communion enough and we need you to double time it. It's not why I'm doing it. Not doing it just to be religious. I'm doing it because I'm going to stand up here with a team of folks and we're going to look at you and we're going to offer you what Christ himself offered, which is himself, because he loved you. You don't take this in order to earn the love of God. You take this because he's loved you already with it. Do y'all get that? Okay. So wherever you're coming from, he loves you. Some of the folks marveled. They were just amazed at Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest, this is the group. If you can choose groups, this is the group you want to be in. You want to be in the group that just is amazed at what Jesus did. You know, I think the woman who prayed said, hey, heal my daughter. We don't even get to meet the daughter. She's at home. She has a demon. In our day and time, it might be a literal demon, or it might be like afflictions due to addiction and things like that. But let me tell you something. A desperate mama praying for her daughter. Can you all imagine that? Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever be the daughter that a desperate mama was praying for? Or the son? Yeah. You know. And so there's that point where Jesus says, now he doesn't immediately grant her prayer, and he seems a little rude to her at first. He's like, look, I got other things to do. I've been sent here to the Jewish people. She wasn't a Jewish person. Matter of fact, he wasn't anywhere where Jewish people lives. He was in Tyre and Sidon, which is all Gentile country, which to me is a good sign that he was starting something because he wanted to reach all of us one day. So he's out there preaching to these folks who aren't Jews, talking to them. He kind of wanted to stay hidden, but she finds him, and she says, please, but it's my daughter. Don't you understand? It's my daughter. And he says, yeah. Yeah. And she went home, and her daughter was well. What do you think that? Do you think that lady remembered that he referred to her as a little dog, or do you think she kind of did the happy dance? Like, my daughter's, say, she was amazed. Then they brought him a deaf and I always said deaf and dumb, but they say deaf and mute. But it was funny growing up when they'd say somebody was deaf and dumb, and I was like, well, I'm dumb, but what does it mean to be deaf? You know, and I'd say that out loud to myself, which was kind of, anyways, I just struggled. You know, I still do a little bit. But the deaf guy couldn't talk, couldn't hear. Jesus heals them, and that's where they give us the statement in Mark 7:37. He has done all things well. The deaf hear and the mute speak. Let me tell you, when you focus on Jesus, let me ask you this. Have you come to find out that he does all things well? Y'all listen. Jesus is still doing all things well. Now, if he was dead, he couldn't be doing anything. Dead people don't do all things well or right or wrong. They do nothing. Jesus Christ is not dead. He continues to do all things well. He's been raised on the third day. He's alive. That's why we gather together. Please understand, we don't do this in honor of a dead guy. We do this in honor of the living God and King who still does all things well. And I believe he multiplies bread and loaves. I'm looking on the crowd today, and I'm thinking about how much bread and loaves and juice we have in here, and he may have to multiply the Lord's Supper elements today. But praise God, I'm going to trust him to do it, all right? So nobody take it twice, no matter how much you think you need to. And Jesus is sufficient anyways. You don't need to do that. All right. Then he feeds the 4,000. I said that should sound familiar because it was just a couple weeks ago he fed the 5,000. But what do you think those folks thought? They were amazed. He had 7 loaves and some fish, and he feeds 5,000 people? 4,000? How many of a thousand? Thousands? Thousands. You know, in our town, we see a group of 1,000. They look pretty big, don't they? I mean, if there was 1,000 people, that would look pretty big. There's 4,000 people, and he fed all of them. That's pretty good. I'm looking at, you know, Papa Keith used to sell pizzas. Did you sell 4,000 pizzas in a day or feed 4,000 people in a day? You could have retired the day afterwards probably if you did. And but the point is, that's a lot of folks. He did all things well. These folks were amazed. He did all things well. There's people who come to Jesus. If you're here and you're a Jesus person, you're like, he does all things well, and you're amazed at him, just give an amen. You know, anyway, amen. All right. I know that's like a setup, because now you're like, if I don't say amen, he's going to think I'm not really into Jesus and I'm not a Jesus person. I probably shouldn't have set you all up like that, but here's my point. If you're here and you already know he does all things well, amen. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Now let's talk about those folks who aren't quite sure. Okay, the Pharisees will represent them. The Pharisees are good representations of religion gone wrong. Okay? And there's some folks who believe this. I done gave my money at church. I showed up to church. I listened to the preacher. I sang the songs. And then God let me hit the red light right there at Carrollton Road and 51. I had to sit at the red light. What's going on? How come my life didn't work out like peaches and cream? Well, let me tell you, that's not how it goes. And your dispute with God can be any kind of dispute. But we know this. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, I probably shouldn't do that anymore. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, there was a group of people, I like to call them chihuahuas from hell, who were just napping at them. They began disputing with them, like a little dog eating, you know, your pant leg. Just, why? Won't you give us a sign? Won't you give us this? Won't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Now listen. My point up here is not to demean you, because I think all of us can slip into Pharisee mode every once in a while. All of us think we know the Bible better than Jesus. The Pharisees really did. They're face to face with the Son of God, and no matter how religious you think you are, no matter how many Sunday schools and BBSs you've been through, no matter if you've been to the Southern Baptist conventions or you've been on the mountaintop, I've been to the mountaintop. You still did not get higher than Jesus, I promise. And these folks who are disputing, sometimes we just need to relax a little bit. No matter how much you know, Jesus is still your superior. You didn't outsmart Jesus. You're not going to outdo Jesus. And at some point, we've got to yield ourselves to him. If you've gotten so religious that you now know better than everybody else, and you're ready to argue and dispute over religious minutia, let me first tell you, Jesus will beat you. Other people do not like you. They'll get to know you and then they'll like you, but at first they don't like you. Because you're arguing and you're negative and your faith has become subjected to rules and ways that you don't fully understand, but you think you do. And let me tell you the kindest thing that Jesus could do for these folks when they're yapping at him and nipping and yah. He first sighed deeply in his spirit as a sign of his love for him. Have you ever, you got teenagers? Right, okay, yep. She's 10, but she's got teenagers. She lives with a teenage brother. Point being, sometimes you just got to go, you're not ready. You're not ready. I love you, but you're not ready to hear this. And he just tells them what he needs to tell them. You're asking for a sign, but you're barking up the wrong tree. You ever try to set somebody right, but they just weren't ready to get right? He says, y'all, this generation is seeking a sign, but you're not going to be given a sign. Now here's the Son of God, the one who can give them eternal life, the one whom already a lot of people are amazed at, and they're just not ready to accept him because they had a different idea of what he'd be like. But he goes, And then you know what he did? He left. It is the weirdest thing. Chapter 8, verse 10, he gets off the boat. Chapter 8, verse 11, he gets confronted. Chapter 8, verse 12, he says, oh, y'all ain't going to be given a sign. Chapter 8, verse 13, he gets back on the boat and he's gone. So quick, the disciples didn't have time to pick up food. Why did the disciples only have one loaf of bread left? Because Jesus got right back on the boat and said, you know what, right now I need to walk away. Right now we need to walk away. Jesus didn't call them names. Jesus didn't fight them. He might have wanted to punch them in the eye. He didn't punch them in the eye. He didn't cuss them. He didn't say they were, he didn't give up hope on them, but he did walk away. But I'm going to tell you why. He loved them. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. Jesus didn't ignore them. He dealt with them, but he also didn't fight them. He didn't demean them. He was wanting to win them. If you're here today, like I was talking to somebody about our church, and I said, if you come to Christ Community Church and you're looking to find fault, you'll find it. Matter of fact, you don't got to go further than me. Start with the preacher, and you'll fill up notebooks of fault if you're looking. Okay? You'll find it. But if you're coming here to find Christ, I pray you'll find him. The Pharisees just weren't looking in the right way. But no matter what, if you've come here and you're not looking for the right thing, let me promise that Jesus loves you still, and you can find him. And you can find him here. We're going to preach him. There's another group, and this is the group of disciples. This is the group of that he chose. I love this group because I like to flatter myself in saying, and I don't think it's a false flattery. I think it's true that he chose me, and he's allowed me to be his child and his disciple. But the disciples, when you read the Gospels, I don't know about y'all, but as I read them, you get this impression. They just didn't get it. You know, they were so slow. They were not very smart. None of them were like the apostle. Now think, the apostle Paul was a rare, you know, dude. He had training in religion. He had training in scripture. He had practice. And he was smart. He seems to get a lot of stuff. But these guys that he worked with in the Gospels, they're like me. They were slow. He had just fed 5,000 people and he had all these leftovers. Now he just fed these 4,000 people and had all these leftovers. And they're carrying around a loaf of bread going, we only got this one loaf of bread. Is that going to be a problem? And he's like, I mean, he literally goes, are you blind? Did you forget? Hello, I'm Jesus. I did this whole multiplying bread things twice now. It's going to be okay if we only have one loaf for our group. We will make it. And they're like, oh. Okay, I think the disciples all walked like this. Oh, okay. Thanks, Jesus. You know, it was weird, but that's how I walk. Spiritually, that's my spiritual walk. That's my pace. I'm not smart. I'm not spiritually enhanced. I don't have all these great insights, but this is what I know. Jesus, after making fun of them more than he made fun of the others, continues to walk with them. Jesus is so patient with us not understanding. Not that he wants us to continue not understanding forever, right? He wants us to grow. And eventually, these guys are going to change the world through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. God's going to use these slow disciples. They eventually come to it. And let me tell you why. Because Jesus patiently works with them. Maybe you have some experience like me where you tried to learn something, maybe something technical. I had a stepdad who was a good stepdad. This is not being mean to him. But one of the things he didn't have was a lot of patience. And one of the things I didn't have was a lot of coordination. And so when a person that lacks patience is trying to teach his stepson things that require coordination, and I'm not coordinated, he often would lose his patience, which made me feel even more uncoordinated, to the point, honestly, where I don't try many things that require coordination because I've labeled myself as uncoordinated, where I don't think much of myself in doing things that require precision or require, you know, if I'm by myself, I may try some things. But if anybody's around, I'm like, no, I ain't going to do that. And it's bad when I try it myself. Last time I tried it myself, I pulled the cold water handle off my shower, and I didn't turn the water off at the main, and water was blasting. Anyways, y'all have heard that story. But listen to me about this. Jesus not judging you that you're spiritually uncoordinated. Jesus is not judging you because you don't understand the word perfectly. Jesus is not judging you because you don't know all the ought to's and shoulds. Jesus loves you. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to label you uncoordinated and push you in the corner. Matter of fact, he won't let you label yourself spiritually uncoordinated and keep yourself in the corner. He's always going to draw you out because he loves you. Y'all get what I'm saying? You might feel like you're a slow disciple. You may feel like you're the one who keeps falling over into the same dumb thing over and over and hitting yourself in the head and the same, riding up against the same wall over and over. He won't quit on his own people. He's just not going to. He's been dealing with dull disciples forever. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying it's the truth. He's been dealing with us and he don't quit on us. And that's something we can say amen about. That's something we can rally behind. Not saying, yay, we're dumb. We're saying, yay, he's patient. Yay, he's merciful. Even though I may not understand, he understands me. You know what's more important than me being understanding and everything? It's me understanding that he is understanding. If you can get to somewhere and realize he loves you, he understands you, and he won't give up on you, what a blessed place you're in. What a blessed position. Amen? Now we're going to take the Lord's Supper. This is how we do this. Hopefully my microphone won't kill us when I come down here. So far, so good. I've asked Johnny and I've asked LG, and I'll see if Mr. Wyman, if you'll come up. I just put him on the spot. Do you see that? That's good stuff right there. We're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to serve these gentlemen. We're going to come down this aisleway. You'll come to the bread, and then you'll come to the juice, okay? Remember why we take this. We take this as a sign that we understand that he understands us and that he loves us. But taking it one step further, and I'm not trying to be divisive in any way. This is for people who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ. It's not just that you know it. You know, I think even the devil says he knows that there's one God, right? And he trembles. I bet you he even knows that God actually loves us too. But he don't have any personal commitment to Christ as his Lord and Savior. So I'm actually going to give you a moment. There's nothing stopping you from making a commitment. That is a movement of your will to say, Lord, I want you to be my God, my Savior. I want to yield my life up to you. If you need to do that, I'm going to give you a moment to do that right now, okay? If you are a Christian and you have a sin in your life and it's bothering you right now as we're about to take the elements that represent the body and blood of Christ, Jesus dying on the cross for us. If you have a sin in your life that doesn't need to be there right now, but it keeps coming to your mind, it keeps coming up in your heart, take this time of silence and prayer. Just say, Lord, I confess it, and just give it to him. Jesus is the only one who can do anything with your sins anyway. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So take this time to do some business with God, okay? Let's do that now. Go ahead, close your eyes and just I'll pray and we'll have a moment of silence and then we'll get ready for the supper. Lord, thank you for how you love us. And I pray that right now, as we prepare, that you would show us in our hearts what we need to do. Is there somebody here who's not made that commitment? They haven't crossed that line. Would you speak to them, embolden them through your spirit that they might surrender their life to you today? And there's somebody here who knows you, Lord, that's wrestling with a sin that you've brought to their mind. It's wounded their conscience. You've pointed it out, your fingers on it. Would you help them to confess that to you now, trust you with it, turn from it? Lord, do your work. We're going to give you this moment. Y'all take this moment silently now to be with the Lord. Whatever business, whatever prayers, whatever has been said or still being said, I just thank you. You're awesome. You're our God, and we have no other. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus taught us in the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, he took flatbread like this, and y'all going to get it on you a little bit, but that's all right. But he took it, he lifted it up to heaven, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. Now look, what happened to Jesus was a violent act. He was broken. His body was broken for us, just like that bread was broken. It's part of the reason why he wants us to keep doing it like this. So that we'll see. It costs something. So when we come, we realize the price for us has been paid by Christ. And then after supper, he took the cup. The cup after supper represented redemption. Redemption means bringing back something that was made to the one that made it, bringing back to a right relationship, returning something. Like if you redeem a coupon, you redeem it to the one who issued it. And they, you know, that's how that system works. Well, God says the agreement, the covenant, the price necessary to bring people back into right relationship with God, it's through the blood of Christ. So after supper, he took the cup, he said, take this and drink it, all of you. This is the covenant, this is the new covenant in my blood. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, we know that what you did for us was costly. What you did for us was precious. It's nothing that money could buy. It's nothing that we could ever circumvent, get around, or get under, or get over. We have to come through you. There is no other way. You are the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by you. But you are so open to receive everyone who comes to you. So Lord, help us all to come to you open-hearted, free, ready to receive. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come up, we come to the, like I said, to the bread first, and then to the cup. Johnny, his body was broken for you because he loves you. His blood was shed for you because he loves you. Brother Wyman, his body was broken for you because he loves you. And his blood shed for you because he loves you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. You go ahead and hold this one. There goes, okay. After you get done, you can just put your cup in here. That would be wonderful. LG, his body was broken for you because he loves you, and his blood was shed for you because he loves you. And be careful. We got some walkers. That's all right. They're all good. Just be careful. Just come on down here. You know, everybody who's closest to this row will come here, and y'all on that side go down that row. Just come back around to your seats when we're done. Listen, God is the source of every good and perfect gift. We don't give because God's broke. This isn't welfare for God. This is an opportunity to worship and say, God, we're all really in the money. And we give back a portion recognizing you as God and as the source of all good things. It's a way of worship. So as we worship today in offering, let me pray for us. And y'all, listen. You're going to be, I know where the offering plates are going to go through, but you listen to this song that God picked out for this morning and just see if it's not perfect. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we had to come and take this supper together as a family, as the same team. Because we're your creation. We bear your image. And Father, you're the Savior of everyone who's saved. And you offered to the world. You're the one who took away the sin of the world. You say, come on to me. And so, Father, we're the same team, no matter where we've come from. And right now, I just want to give you praise, and I want to give you thanks. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If there could be like a subtitle for our series through the gospel of grace, it's this: that you see Jesus so clearly that you see the grace in his eyes and it draws you to redemption. Amen? All right, two quick announcements. A reminder, our children and youth programs on Wednesday night are going to be starting at 6 o'clock instead of 7, okay? I mean, instead of 6:30. Yeah, I said that almost right. They were starting, we did have children, youth and children, from 6:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday night. Now we're going to have them from 6 to 7:30 on Wednesday night. The adult program is going to be the same. We're going to go from 6:30 to 7:30. If you have kids, you're an adult, and you drop them off early, we may, you know, get some bingo or something going on here between 6 and 6:30. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we'll do something, okay? But that's, I wanted to give that announcement. Also, we're having, right after church, if you are going on the Beautiful Feet mission trip, right after church today, we're having a meeting. So don't go away. Stay here if you're going on Beautiful Feet. We're going at the end of February. We're having a meeting today after church. If you're here for that meeting, I'm looking for my leaders for that meeting, and I'm not seeing them. They're out there. They're out there. So we're going to say, no, I just want to make sure that they're here, and I didn't have to pretend to know what I was doing, which I can if I need to. Last thing is, we're having a membership class. That went right nasally right through my nose. We're having a membership class on February 19th. If you don't have a church home and you feel like God's leading in Christ community, we'll have a membership class where we just describe what we're like, what membership is like, and we'll be doing that on February 19th, immediately following church. And we'll have food and child care for that. I think that's it. Joshua, okay, that's it. Hey, I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Will you pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you that you draw us and there's grace in the eyes of Jesus. Help us get close enough to him to see it. Close in your word, close in the spirit. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? March! Walk, walk.